Aren't you glad the Lord is working it out? In His divine timing, in His perfect will, He never gets in a rush. He never gets in a hurry. Now, there's times I wish He'd move on my schedule. Don't look at me like that. You've been there too. If you'd have looked at the carpenter's son, Joseph, at 27, 28 years old, he said, aren't you supposed to be out there opening blinded eyes? Aren't you supposed to be out there raising people from the dead? He'd probably look right back at you and say, my hour's not yet come. Just kept on going right on. The Lord knows when, and I'm glad that He does. Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. Can we give the Lord one more hand clap of praise and just appreciation for all that He's done? Amen. I do count it an honor and a joy to be back with you again on this Sunday night, and I trust that the Lord blessed you with a wonderful Thanksgiving day. And I really do encourage us all, we need to take advantage of those special times. Time moves so quickly, so fast. And of course, those that have children that are grown, you can testify to that. Just yesterday, they were so small and right there around that table. And you know, when you're young, you think, well, mercy, you know, I mean, they're brand new. You got at least 18 more years of this. I got at least 18 more years of Thanksgiving. No, you at best, you got 18 times of Thanksgiving. Kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? Oh, I've got another 20 years worth of Christmas. No, at best, you may have 20 times of Christmas. All I'm saying is every time the Lord gives us opportunity to come together, we ought to redeem that, and we ought to thank the Lord for that. And I am so thankful for the many blessings that He has placed upon our lives. And I told our little girls we ought to be very thankful people how the Lord has blessed us so much. You know, and I don't say this lightly, but any one of us in this room today, any one of us could have been born in some third world country. Any one of us could have been born in Eastern Africa, Northern Uganda. I've been there where they line up 300-400 deep just to get a little bowl full of beans and some mace. And so we are so very thankful in this land. And we can thank our blessings to the Lord. Amen. We can thank our blessings to the Lord. Amen. And I've asked my wife if she'd sing this evening. So I just wanted to obey the Lord. Obey the Lord, sister. If you feel like testifying, obey God there too.
It is such a blessing to serve the Lord. I'm so thankful to have Him as a Savior and a Lord. I'm so thankful for the power that's in the blood. It's so freeing to know that you don't have to lean on your own strength, because I mean, I've been there before where I thought I had the strength to get through it and had to learn, I guess, the hard way probably sometimes that I didn't have enough strength. But I'm so thankful that His strength is perfect in weakness, and that really encourages me because I'm pretty weak sometimes, but He is so strong. And He loves us so much, He'll never let us down, and He's always been there. He's a wonderful Lord, and I know you know that. Really old song, but there's nothing in this life that makes me want to turn my back on the Lord. He's been too good to me. I've heard too many stories, and I've known Him too long, and I love Him, and I'm going to serve Him the rest of my life. Even though I am young, and I have so much to learn, and it seems I keep falling every which way that I turn, but I'm determined. No. seems so rough, and Satan comes and telling me, why don't you just give up? Oh, that's when the Lord reminds me that in Him there's victory. So I will keep walking this walk this way till I reach home. Oh, I'm gonna serve the Lord no matter what comes my way today. And I'm gonna live this life no matter what my friends say. And though Satan, when he comes against me, yes, he tries to make me fall, but I'm gonna keep walking.
Have your Bibles tonight, please turn with us to the book of Acts chapter number 7 this evening. The book of Acts chapter number 7, verse 54. While you're turning there, I do want to give honor to your pastor. Appreciate Brother Clifford Hurst. Appreciate this church. It's been a busy year, hasn't it? God's brought us through another year of Sidewalk Sunday School Ministries, Glow in the Dark, Thanksgiving. Now, right on the heels of, I guess, plays or cantatas, one of the two, it always goes back and forth. I never can keep up with which one it is. But although, I mean, it's right on top of us. And I hope that in the midst of our busyness, we don't get too busy for the Lord. I remember years ago, Brother Clendenin told me, he said, son, he said, never get so busy ministering for God that you forget to minister to God. And I hope that in the midst of this busyness, even with different ministries that are going forth, don't be too busy to minister to Him, not just for Him. The book of Acts this evening, chapter number 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on Him with their teeth. But He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon Him with one accord and cast Him out of the city and stoned Him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Literally, he dies. Here's a man that simply stands for the Lord, does what's right, and stoned to death. I want to preach to us tonight for just a few moments. If the Lord would help me and the Holy Ghost would anoint me, I want to speak to us tonight on standing alone. Standing alone. You going to help me tonight? Can we slip up our hands to heaven one more time and ask the Lord to have His way in the remainder of this house, Father? Father, I thank You for all that You've done. I thank You, Lord God, and You know where we are as a people. And God, You know where Your church is, and You know what's right on the horizon. And I'm asking in faith in the name of the Lord Jesus that You would just come down today and strengthen us, God. Strengthen us through Your word. Strengthen us through Your will and through Your wisdom. I pray that You would minister to every last one of us and meet us around these altars. And let every soul in this house be hungry for a fresh anointing and a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost in their life. I thank You for this in the name of Jesus, I do pray. And everybody said amen. Shake somebody's hand as you're being seated this evening and tell them, I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord. Beloved, hear me this evening. There is certainly strength whenever we can come together and pray one for another. There's a strength whenever we can find ourselves in having biblical memories and how we can have times of victory around these altars. I can think back of times right over here and right over here where the Lord moved in such a great way and we prayed one for another. And I'm so glad for those opportunities where we can come together and when we can pray together and when we can seek God together. And those are things we should hold on to. And those are things that we should value greatly as a church. Thank the Lord for every time that we've ever been able to come together and pray. But beloved, hear me tonight. There is coming a time, and I believe coming a time very soon. It may be at your workplace. It may be at your family dinner. It may be who knows where. But you're going to have to make a stand, and you're going to have to stand alone for what you know is right, for what you know is true, for what you know is holy, and what you know is biblical. And friend, this is not the same United States of America as what it was in 1950. We'd better realize we're living in a hostile environment with a hostile world, and we better realize we're going to have to stand in these last days. Love it, hear me this evening. It's not an environment that's conducive to real Christianity anymore. But all you have to do to stand up to be persecuted is simply smile at somebody and say, I don't believe in that lifestyle. Amen. But all you have to do to nearly lose your job is to say, I still think that is a sin. I still think that is wrong. I still think the Bible condemns that. And beloved, hear me, I realize that during that tribulation period, it is God's wrath upon the earth. And we believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. That could happen before this sermon is over with tonight. But hear me, should the Lord tarry, I don't want to think, well, you know, we believe Jesus could come back at any moment, therefore nothing's ever going to happen to us. Wrong, beloved. We don't know the persecution that may come. You better nail a stake down in the ground. You better get a hold of God with both hands. You better say, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And here it is tonight. We see a man by the name of Stephen. He's a twice born man in a once born world. And if you're twice born in a once born world, listen, scoot up close. I want to tell you a secret. You're going to find persecution. If you're really, truly born again, you will find persecution. Here's a man by the name of Stephen. He's not a preacher, but he has a message. And he's a deacon, but he's a Holy Ghost-filled man. And he stands alone and stands for God. He's a remarkable man in Scripture. The Bible says he has a face like an angel. The Bible says in Acts 6:3, wherefore, brethren, look out from among you seven men of honor, support, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And verse 5 said, the saying, please, the whole multitude they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved, hear me tonight. The secret for standing for God in these last days is to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you're going to stand for the Lord, you will be filled with His Spirit. If you're going to stand with boldness, you will be filled with His Spirit. There is no other way. There is no other option. It is God's plan. It is God's will. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I realize today we've made it optional. Boy, that got good and quiet. I realize today we make it a take it or leave it. Good if you have it, no big deal if you don't. But beloved, hear me. If you were to go back to that first century church, they would have told you that every saved man needs to be filled with the Spirit of God, needs to be overflowing with the Spirit of God. Not a take it or leave it, just to take it. Just get it. Just do it. Walk in the Spirit of God. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Well, you say, well, but that's just nobody wants it nowadays. Nobody's hungry for that. I realize that the average church may not be hungry for it, but I can assure you the normal child of God is. If you're born again, there's got to be a hunger inside of you that says, let me walk full of the Spirit of God. I didn't say the average, but the normal does. Heard about that one little boy. He was a shoe shine boy. And the man looked at him afterwards. He said, well, son, what's the average tip that you get? He said, well, $5. He said, whoo, that is a steep tip. He reaches in his pocket and hands that boy a $5 bill. And the boy said, sir, you're the first person to ever come up to average. Say amen. I'm not talking about the average take it or leave it church. I'm not talking about the average, well, whatever they say do, we'll just conform and go along with it. I want to remind you, friend, inside the Word of God, when you look at the biblical opposite of courage, it's not cowardice. It is conformity. It is simply going with the flow. It is simply going with what everybody else is doing, what everybody else is saying, what everybody else is believing. God, give us men and women in these last days how to be filled with the Spirit of God. It says we will follow the word of the Lord, the way of the Lord, the wisdom of God. It takes courage to stand and do that. Any dead fish can float downstream, but men filled with the Spirit of God, they stand for what's right. Men hungry for God to truly lead their life want Him more than just resident. They say, I want you president in my life. I want you to have complete control over my life, that wherever I am, wherever I may be, that if I have to stand and stand alone, Brother Jason, as for me, as for my children, as for my bride, let's do what's right. Let's live, friend. We're too close to the end of this thing to back up now. Jesus could come back at any moment. We've been through too many valleys. We've been through too many hard times. We fought too many beasts of Ephesus. We fought too many devils on 1,000 hills for us to back up and conform to a world that doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we need to make a stand one more time. I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm not talking about putting your finger in the face of somebody else. I'm talking about men that will simply stand and say, we're going to live, we're going to walk, we're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. To have Him control us. Friend, hear me what the Bible says tonight in Acts 6:3. Wherefore, brethren, look yet among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Verse number 8 of chapter 6 says it like this. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Wisdom, faith, power. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, God gives you so many things. But I can assure you what He'll give us in these last days to stand and stand alone. Wisdom, faith, and power. If He gave it to Stephen, He'll give it to you and me, Brother Aaron. If He gave it to Stephen, He'll give it to you and me if we're hungry. What did Stephen have? Stephen had wisdom. Stephen had faith and Stephen had power. Hallelujah. Stephen had wisdom and Stephen had faith and Stephen had power. That's what His word tells us in verse number 10. They were not able to resist the wisdom by which the Spirit, by which He spake. What does God give us? He gives us wisdom to speak for Christ. Peace says,
Stephen's not a preacher, but he's got a message. It's more than biblical facts. It's more than memorizing stories. It's a spirit of wisdom that rises up inside of you. Whenever they're there with stones in his hand, Stephen's main thought is not, wow, I wonder if I can name the 12 tribes of Israel in alphabetical order. Be great if you can. But that's not the spirit of wisdom. That spirit of wisdom rises up in him to give him words to say when he needs to say it. And the same spirit of God will give you the wisdom to say what you need to say when you need to say it. I said the Spirit of God gives you what to say and when to say and how to say and to whom to say. That's what the Spirit of wisdom can do for your life. Listen to what God's Word said there in Luke 21 and 12. But before all this, they shall lay their hands upon you. That means could be us. That means it gets pretty nasty. I know, brother, that's just prophet of doom. Take pictures of mud holes, don't you? No. Listen, beloved. It could get bad. It could get real bad. Well, that's okay, Brother Astish. We've got a president that's going to take care of everything for us. I got news for the Democrats, and I got news for the Republicans. I got news for the billy goats and for the bull weevils, whatever side of the fence you're on. Our hope is not in the White House. Our hope is in the lighthouse. Amen. That's what's going to keep us. That's what's going to... I don't know who's going to immigrate where. I don't know where they're going to wind up, but all I know is one day you're going to have to be chased and forced to make a stand, and I want to go ahead and make my stand right now and say, Jesus, let me live for God. Amen. The Bible said they will persecute you. They will deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Sounds pretty bad, brother. Let's just wait one second. Listen to what the next verse says. In Luke 21 and 13. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. God said they're going to put their hands on you. They're going to throw you before judges. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to open up a wonderful door for you to be a shining light for me. It's going to open up a wonderful door for you to show what happens when somebody that's filled with the Spirit of God, when God lives in and through their life, and it shall turn for a testimony unto you. Verse 14, settle it therefore in your heart not to meditate before what ye shall answer. Hallelujah. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. I don't know what to say, preacher. I don't know either. But here's God's promise to you and me. If we would just walk in His Spirit, He'll give us the words to say. He'll fill our mouth with wisdom. If we'll walk in His Spirit, He'll show us what to do. They asked D.L. Moody one time, they said, do you think you could be a martyr? He said, no, not right now. Nobody's looking to kill me. But if they were, then God would give me the strength to be a martyr. Tell them I'll call them back. Say amen. Well, brother, that's just, you think you'd stand for God? Listen, friend, you may not be faced with it tonight, but when it comes down to it, God says that's when I raise it up inside of you. Don't you worry yourself to death over it. Don't you stay up nights and writing dang things down. And this is what I'll do if this happens. This, I don't know what's going to happen. But that's just, what if they come in and bomb this? I don't know what's going to happen. But here's what I do know. If I'll just walk in the Spirit of God, He'll give me the wisdom to say it. He'll give me the wisdom to live it. He'll give me the wisdom to be what He wants me to be. All I know is there'll be things that happen in your life. And you look around and you say, now, Lord, I don't know how to handle this situation. But if you walk filled with the Spirit of God, He has a way of filling your mouth with what? What you need to say. Say amen, somebody. I remember I was there in El Salvador and we're waiting. Long story. We're there. God opened up a great door for us with the police department there, and as far as being an assistant chaplain in San Miguel, there with the police, it's been unbelievable. And Brother Aaron, as we're waiting for another group to come in, and Brother Walter, he's a chaplain, a pastor there. He says, Brother Estes, would you like to go speak to the men in the prison? And the jail, naive me, and said, sure, why not? Listen, I'm not saying Google it, but if you've ever studied anything about prisons in El Salvador, it's not quite like the ones in America. Take my word for it. We start walking down that little corridor. They open up that door. I kid you not, that first man walks in. He goes, and I walk in. There's a cell on this side. It should hold maximum 15. On this side, it should hold maximum 15. Oh, Brother Brad, there's 40 men on this side, and there's 40 men on this side. Just kind of put a picture in your mind. If you have a 15-passenger van, and you try to stick 40 people in a 15-passenger van, what do you think's going to happen? Friend, all I can tell you is they are crawling over each other like absolute animals and rats. No shoelaces, because in the middle of the night, they'll use those to kill somebody standing right beside them. They say they stay in there 24 hours a day, never let them out of that little prison. I noticed there was a rip on top of that roof, and that's where the sunlight was beaming through, and that's the only little bit of sunlight that's in there. The rest of it's just pitch black dark. They said they never leave those confinements. Every night, they said they take four-hour shifts. 20 of them lay down flat for 4 hours, and 20 of them have to stand still. And then they switch 4 hours down, and the others have to stand still. And that's the only sleep they get each night. I'm not trying to be graphic. I never try to be rude or disgusting. But as my eyes readjusted to that darkness, I looked on that far wall, and I could see where they'd taken their own waste and thrown it time and time again. They're like absolute animals and beasts. And I knew at any moment, I said, oh, dear God, one of those men are going to throw something at me. Friend, that ain't time for a little Sunday school lay me down to sleep lesson. God, what am I going to say? What's going to happen? All I know is I felt the wisdom of God begin to deal with my heart as I began to deal with 40 men on this side and 40 men on this side that had no hope and no help. But there was one hope and one help, and his name was Jesus. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, hallelujah. All I know is I'm preaching to them. I'm giving them the, did everybody get saved? No, but there were some that said, I believe, though I'm in prison here, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Say amen. I'm walking out of that prison. I never forget, it was the majority on this side, not that side, this side. Majority on this side. Brother Hoffman, tears are running down their faces. And they're saying, Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Dios. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, friend, you don't have to know what to say. Just get, I'm not making an excuse for laziness. I'm not making an excuse not to study the Word of God. But there's going to be some predicaments that you find yourself in that you can't go through a file and get an illustration. You simply got to lean on the presence of the Lord. But here's my promise to you. If you'll walk in the Spirit, He will never let you down. He will never disappoint you. He will, come on, you cannot overestimate the goodness of our God. God gave him wisdom. Wisdom to speak for Christ. God gave him power. Power to stand for Christ. Verse 51 of chapter 7. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Stephen. This is not going to help your defense against them. Stephen did not read the seeker-sensitive church guide. Hello. Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? They have slain them which showed before you the coming of the just one, whom ye have been now the betrayers and the murderers. Wait a second, Stephen. These are the men that can let you go. These are the men that can set you free. Your life is literally in their hands. And Stephen would have said back to you, don't fear the one that can simply kill this body. Fear the one that can kill this body and throw your soul into hell. Say amen. I don't know what they may do to us. I don't know what they may say. I don't know what laws they may pass. I don't know what political correctness they may try to shove down our throat. But here's what I know. There is another world to come. And I'm only a pilgrim and a stranger passing through. And I'm laying up treasure somewhere beyond the blue. And this ain't the end of it, sir. This ain't the end of it, ma'am. There's another world. There's another world. There's another world. That's the one I'm interested in. It takes power to stand for him. Listen, nobody likes to be persecuted. Nobody likes to be drawn out. Nobody likes to be made to feel just a little bit awkward. Oliver, come here. See, you know, turn around. See any other young people around you? No. Feel a little awkward up here? Yeah. Perfect illustration. Thank you. Thank you. That's about all it takes. Can I tell you something, son? They can be your age. They can be 40 years older than you, and they still get that awkward feeling when everybody looks. Nobody likes to be pulled out of that crowd. Nobody likes to be called a hater. Especially when you're not a hater. Are you kidding? This is the only thing that true love is. It's amazing. They said, well, love wins here. Love wins. No, sir. You're messing up that word. You have misunderstood the biblical principles of what true love is. But I can assure you there's going to be a God that sets it straight one day. And the kingdoms of this world will soon before him fall. But God's going to have a kingdom. And it's going to be men and women that have the wisdom to speak for him. And the power to stand with him. Brother Estes, do you think if things get a little worse, there may just be people that one time we were close with that we won't be close to anymore? Yes. Yes. Do you think there may just be people that know page 180 by heart, everybody will be happy? That know page 130. Do you think there will? Absolutely. Absolutely. Friend, hear me. I'm not talking about 100 years down the road. I'm not talking about 25 years down the road. I'm talking about coming to a city near you. Persecution like we've never seen. Persecution like we've never seen. I'm ready to get my mind made up tonight. I know which way I'm going, Helen. I know which way I'm heading. I know which way I'm going. Say amen, somebody. Friend, if the devil can ever find fear, listen, remember this. Just how God works through faith, I promise you. Satan works through fear. And if Satan can find fear in your life, he can destroy that. God works through faith. Satan works through fear. Fear impedes you. Fear freezes you. Children of Israel, 40 days, they're standing there, Goliath. Some say that he's 13 foot one. Some say, I've seen it, it's short, quote unquote, at 6 foot nine. I'm not here to debate which is. Listen, the average height of a man then would have been about 5 feet. The taller ones would have been about 5 foot six. So a man 6 foot nine is still a pretty big fella. And for 40 days, Brother Brian, I'm not saying Goliath grows, but in the eyes of Israel, every day, he gets a little bit bigger. Oh, by the way, unresolved giants in your life always grow bigger. If it's unresolved, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Wisdom to stand, rather, wisdom to speak for God. Power to stand for God. Listen, beloved, I close. Faith to suffer for God. Oh, wait, brother. I thought that if I come down to this altar in about 10, 12, oh, just let everybody, just bring them all, let them all pray for me. Then I can leave this altar. And I won't have a problem. When I go to work tomorrow, I won't have a problem. Bad theology. Wrong theology. Listen to what God's word said. In verse 56, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Yes, the man is anointed. Yes, the man is walking in the spirit. But yes, suffering happens in his life too. When you walk in the Spirit, that doesn't pull you out of problems. That gives you the ability to live through those problems. Can I just clear up somebody's misunderstanding of how God works? Jesus doesn't negate or erase all of your problems. In fact, peace is not problems or Jesus minus problems. That's not peace. Peace is problems plus Jesus. You got problems? I sure do. You got Jesus? I sure do. You got peace? I sure do. I sure do. I sure do. Here is a man. He stands for the Lord. And yet in his standing for God, he finds that he's stoned. Oh, Brother Zane, I just wish I had one of those anointings. I just wish they'd pray all over me so I could be just like Peter and stand and get 3,000 souls in one. Oh, who wouldn't want 3,000 souls in one day? Well, can I tell you, here is Stephen, and he's anointed with the same Holy Ghost that Peter's anointed, and he doesn't get 3,000 souls. He gets 3,000 stones. The same God that gives one man 3,000 souls is the same God that gives another man 3,000 stones. And the same God that can deliver Peter out of prison is the same God that allows James to be beheaded. I don't know how that works. I don't know why God does it like that. But he's in control, not me. And I feel like telling somebody, I don't know what's around the corner, but whatever happens, you need to be so full of the Holy Ghost that you will endure suffering for him. Whew. The word witness, you know this. Martyr in the Greek, same thing. Stephen was murdered because he was a martyr. He was not a martyr because he was murdered. Hello. He's a witness. He's a witness to God. He dies for Christ. Hebrews 11 and 32, what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant and fight, and turned to flight the armies of aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. Woo! Who wouldn't want that? Well, can you give us a description of your ministry? Well, for the most part, what I do is I quench the violence of fire. I escape the edge of the sword. Most of the time, out of weakness, I'm made strong. Oh, yeah, I'm really good at this. I love turning to flight the armies of alien. Now, this happens not in all the meetings, but most of them. Women receive their dead raised to life. That's just what happens in my minute. Well, wait a second. I'm happy for that. But everything turns on a dime with this little word, these two words, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and moreover bonds of imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goats, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not even worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, now he puts them together, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. You couldn't have one without the other. Yes, it takes some on this side, but you know what? It also takes some over here that can endure the hardness. Amen. Everybody talks about the Smith Wigglesworth, and I'm not taking anything away from that. The Smith Wigglesworth ministries of the 1930s and seeing people raised. I take nothing away from that. Seeing people raised from the dead. But it takes just as much of an anointing of God to lose it all and and still hold on to the Lord. Others, they had trials of cruel mocking. Others, they wandered around in sheepskins and destitute and afflicted. Others, who wouldn't want that first half? Talking about honey and no bees, hallelujah. But life doesn't work like that. I don't know what's around the corner, church, but here's what I do know. We better walk in the Spirit, that we'd have wisdom to speak for Him, power to stand with Him, faith to suffer for Him. Sister Erica, help me tonight on this piano, please. I want to ask you a question tonight, friend. Do you have enough of the Spirit of God not to just escape, but to endure? Do you have enough of the Spirit of God that you say, Lord, not just to be delivered, but if necessary, to die? Here's a little Martin Luther. The year's 1500 and something. And he's got this crazy notion that the just shall live by faith. In fact, he uses this old Latin word, sola scriptura, which means Scripture alone. Now here's the problem. It's an entire world dominated by salvation by works and praying to dead saints and idols and water baptism when you're freshly born so you can be born into the church rather than born again into the kingdom of God. And there's, Brother McKelvey, there's one little German monk that says, I don't believe that. I believe what God's Word says. There's a man knock on his door one day and said, Luther, don't you know the whole world is against you? Martin Luther stood up straight and he said, yes, and I against the whole world. Don't you know nobody believes like this anymore? Don't you know nobody disagrees with that ultra left? Don't you know that nobody's supposed to don't you know that? I know that. Don't you know that everything is ecumenical and we have to reserve, we have to have just as much honor for Buddha and Muhammad as anyone? I realize that's what they say. But I still believe there's no other name under heaven given by men must be saved. And no matter where that takes us, and no matter what they do with us, I'd rather stand alone in truth than stand with a crowd in error. Give us hearts again, God, filled with your Spirit, that we would have wisdom, we'd have power, we'd have faith. You can start any time you'd like, Sister Estes. I once heard there was a stadium filled and a bunch of young people in there, and they brought in a big name atheistic speaker. He was going to give his long dissertation of how there is no God, and he began to use this false science, twisted science so-called. And he goes on and on and on and on and on. After about 45 minutes, he finally says, is there anyone that would dare stand against what I have said this evening? And they said every young person's head was just down just like this. And way back in the corner, there was one little girl. And she began to sing the song, old lyrics that simply said, stand up for Jesus, O ye soldier of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory to victory his army shall he lead. Till every foe be vanquished. Christ the Lord indeed.
And before you know it, another young person began to stand with her. And then another young person. And another young person. And before you know it, every young person was at their feet singing that same song from one little girl. I don't know what's around the corner, church. I really don't. I don't know what may happen. I really don't. I don't know what may happen in the weeks or years to come. I really don't. When I tell you my faith is unshakably grounded in Christ, I mean that. There's people that don't know enough to be scared. There's people that's scared. And then there's people that know Jesus. They're either absolutely ignorant of what's going on around them, or they live scared to death, or they know what's going on, and yet they trust the Lord. And they say, you know what? I'm going to get up tomorrow. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to keep on living. I'm going to keep on doing right. And no matter what happens, here's what I know. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen a seed begging bread. I'm going to stand for it. How about you tonight, church? Can we stand all over this house? Stephen closed those eyes. Oh, that outer shell lay there on that ground. That spirit's now in heaven with him. But there's a young man there that day. His name's Saul. He's holding on to everybody's coat. And he looks at that man, Stephen, as they beat him to death. They throw those stones against him. And understand, it wasn't just a rock or two. I mean, they would throw stones until... You get the picture. And he hears them say those final words. And something tells me something gets cut right inside of his heart. Years later, that young boy, Saul, he's on the road to Damascus. You know the story. And he hears this voice from heaven. He says, hey, it's me, Jesus. Hey, Saul! Kind of hard for you to kick against those pricks, isn't it? Kind of hard for you to forget what you saw years ago, isn't it, Saul? It's kind of hard for you to forget how when you were treating that man the worst, he was praying for you his best. If you'll live like Jesus all the way through the end, I promise it shall be a testimony. It shall be turned unto you for a testimony. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, our hearts are open. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord God, touch every home in this house this evening. Touch every family represented, every young person represented, every adult represented. And I pray, God, let them settle in their hearts tonight. No matter what comes our way, we'll stand for God. We'll stand for the Lord. We'll stand for Jesus. Friend, if that's true in your heart tonight and you truly want to solidify that in your spirit tonight, would you come and join me around these altars in this evening house, in this house this evening? Would you step out from where you are and just come and join me around these altars tonight and ask God to give you wisdom and ask God to give you strength, ask God to give you faith, ask God to fill you with His divine spirit one more time. One more time. Fill me, God. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, God, for the trials ahead. Fill me, God, for the heartaches ahead. Fill me, Lord. Give me wisdom for what's around the corner. Thank you.
the hood.